interrupting the current neo-Euclideal climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 574. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed. And there's really ways to do it, and it really does seem to work. Whether or not I get to that story and talk about it, it takes a whole lot anymore. These folks out there in the world have decided they want to scam everybody in every way and push it to the limit. And the only thing I can figure is that the lawyers that are doing it. Deny, 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 deny. Until they want to tell us something, and then the experts, and they want us to know, as we hear and see now coming on, almost like clockwork, bird flu virus found in U.S. retail milk. The pathogen has been detected in 33 cattle herds in 8 states, officials say. Remember, the H5N1, which is called the bird flu, is a novel construction. It's fraudulently called a virus, and it's not a pathogen, at least not a natural one. We're going to hear a little bit about this idea. They're not quite sure how it gets around. But remember that the lab technician, quite a few years ago now, this is a long time back, some of you have been listening to me this long, you know we talked about it, I was presenting it all. Turns out, in the beginning was the swine flu and the pig's fly flu, and this has just been moving along, and that technician got caught, the lab technician, I think it was something about a modified H5N chemistry is what they end up being. We find out now that they got caught by customs officials, and I think it was Taiwan, that they were modifying this thing as they were going, as we've heard the stories here. But if there are protein string particles in the milk, it has to have been put there because this stuff is not normal. It's not natural or organic, and we find out how to define that if you go to communicable disease law. We saw in the mRNA technology, and if the cows received any mRNA-style treatments for anything, those could have been programmed to deliver that novel, i.e. lab-made-up protein string. But listen here further, maybe ask the question, why pasteurization, if only likely to kill the virus, except it isn't a virus, is even mentioned here. The virus has previously been detected in raw milk, the agency wrote, adding that while pasteurization is likely to inactivate the virus, the process is not expected to fully remove the presence of viral particles. So keep real good track of this, and you'll be able to track what I was doing with the great COVID swindle, exactly how they were telling us what was going on. And if you just paid attention, you could actually see what it was, and then go over, even YouTube, go listen to all the technicians and labs and doctors and all this, and they tell you all about what they did in the labs and what was going on. But only likely here to remove this except when they want to promote pasteurization and don't want to terrorize everyone. Then it essentially kills everything when they want to promote pasteurization. This one's now only not likely. It got me thinking maybe it'd be better to just irradiate milk like they do almonds, and maybe some good enzymes and stuff will get through that pasteurization destroys if we're going to have our druthers on this. But we can see here the FDA National Survey further discovered traces of bird flu in milk from affected animals in the processing system and on the shelves. To date, we have seen nothing that would change our assessment that the commercial milk supply is safe, the agency claimed, insisting that if the testing process finds genetic material from the virus, this does not mean that the sample contains an intact infectious pathogen. So when they said that the same thing during the great COVID swindle, they couldn't say the same thing that it does not mean that the sample contains an intact infectious pathogen? They couldn't say the same thing? Is showing you how, again, they're playing both sides against the middle. And the way to parse through that, as I've been telling you, just go to the communicable disease law and start finding out what they're supposed to really be doing. It would probably help now that we know. Go on over to, it'll be a lot harder to read, a lot longer read, Title 50 in the U.S. Code, and go right, read for all the exceptions, all the stuff that no one can do except. And part of that is the infectious bioweapons. And then you go over into 18 U.S.C. 175, and you'll see how that's a crime if they can't do what? They can't find, well, at least two things, but one is dual use. That's why it became so important. In this article we read, meanwhile, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA, has revealed that bird flu has been found in 33 herds of dairy cows in 8 states as of Monday. So now it's not the bird flu, but it's the bovine flu? Yeah, same answer, when pigs fly. That's right. That never happened either since way back in 2009, since the first time the H1N1 pandemic fraud was foisted on us in preparation of the great COVID swindle. And before that, also in 2003, the so-called reemergence of the HN highly pathogenic avian influenza, H5N1 line of lab-made protein strings, just like old Spike, the CDC was busy fabricating that year at the same time, weren't it? Remember all this discussion we've had? We were a busy year in 2003, putting all this thing, trying to get the patents working up on it, and the CDC was doing it. And they got caught a bit when they were told they couldn't have the patent, and they went and beat up the patent office and got their patent back. We read here, although highly pathogenic avian influenza has been going around for more than 20 years, its spread to bovine livestock is a substantial concern, well-known government publication said on Tuesday. So we now know here this has only existed since the government had created in the lab since 2003 when it was re-emerged. How novel, don't you think? So let us recall some of the history on this from a pre-great COVID swindle right before. We read exclusive controversial experiments that could make a bird flu more risky poised to resume. And anybody paying attention to this, you saw all this going on for the great COVID swindle. It came out that they were not really following the ethical standards that we were supposed to. And so there was a pause, and then they got it fired back up. But this is that story. Two gain-of-function projects halted more than 4 years ago have passed new U.S. review processes. This is right before the great COVID swindle started. Controversial lab studies that modified bird flu viruses in ways that could have make them more risky to humans will soon resume after being on hold for more than 4 years. Science Insider has learned that last year, a U.S. government review panel quietly approved experiments proposed by two labs that were previously considered so dangerous that the federal officials had imposed an unusual top-down moratorium on such research. In 2011, Boitier and Kawaoka alarmed the world by revealing that they had separately modified the deadly avian H5N1 influenza virus so that it spread between ferrets. Advocates of such gain-of-function studies say that they can help public experts better understand how viruses might spread and plan for pandemics. And I just take the word for right out of there. Just plan pandemics. But by enabling the bird virus to be more easily spread among mammals, the experiments also raise fears that the pathogen could jump to humans. And critics of the work worried that such a souped-up virus could spark a pandemic if it escaped from a lab or was intentionally released by a bioterrorist. So that bioterrorist turns out to be your own government, using your loosely here. Now, I hope you hear all the consistencies that would happen during the great COVID swindle and all the discussion that was going on relative to that. And if you, hopefully, again, I'm hoping people read what I tell them to read, so you get a foundation from which you can read and go quickly through this. I usually take a whole lot longer than it takes me to see this stuff and move through it. But you can start seeing and paint the picture for yourself. You don't have to have an expert tell you what's going on. And you can make all your decisions real quick. And as I've been saying, as this thing moves on and now they're starting to fear us in our food, as they've been trying to do, and get animals off the planet, because that's the other part of that agenda, then you also know then you can challenge these officials who just put the blinders on and do all kinds of stuff to make all kinds of claims, and they really can't back them up. Dairy cows must be tested for bird flu before moving between states, USDA. So quickly we see the federal government has interstate authority here in commerce. And they moved it. The cows are moved outside of production and into commerce is one thing that people don't really want to challenge. On the other hand of that, we do have the health prerogative of the state. And that's where you get the power to say, wait a minute, you just can't be talking without non-fraudulently demonstrating stuff. You may have a police power, but you have to have that non-fraudulent exigency that allows you to act. So, but they're going to now have testing going on. Dairy cows only here. Remember, listen for this. Listen how they parse this out. And this becomes an interesting maybe little look on how we might be able to look at it. Some of you that are know the difference between a dairy cow and a beef or cattle may be able to explain a bit or explain what the different distinctions are as we get through this. Dairy cows cannot be moved between states without testing for the highly pathogenic avian influenza, U.S. officials announced on April 24th. The U.S. Department of Agriculture issued a federal order that says prior to interstate movement, dairy cattle are required to receive a negative test for influenza A virus. Influenza A virus. Interesting. A strain of the highly pathogenic avian influenza A, H5N1, has been spreading across the country since first being detected in cows in March. The influenza is commonly known as the bird flu. The novel movement of H5N1 between wild birds and dairy cows requires further testing and time to develop a critical understanding to support any future courses of action. Let me put that into my context. The novel movement has not been identified. They haven't identified a natural movement. Remember, novel is made up. It's lab made, it's lab created, it's lab proffered, it's lab moved around, lab dealt with. Nothing in novel is natural. We found out in Great COVID Swindle, it's simply, they call it DNA, but it's just these protein strains. That's chemistry. At this point, no beef cattle are known to have been infected with the virus. The order, which takes effect on April 29th, covers lactating dairy cattle. So what if the not too well understood novel movement between wild birds and cows doesn't exist, but the so-called transmission route is induced by man, such as through the medications or food, feed, or supplements? We've heard denials about mRNA treatment type protocols, but they're there. What if that's how that's the actual novel movement is not natural at all? It's man himself. And maybe good-natured farmers and ranchers don't understand what's going on in this food as they just are told to take care of their crops and take care of their livestock and don't understand what's being seeded into the system. What I wanted to know as I was looking at what things might be identified for dairy cattle and treatment different than the beef cattle. So then we might find what the novel movement is, how they get it into the dairy cattle to scare us away from our milk at this point. Well, whatever you believe in pasteurization, all that, the bottom line is that they're actually going to be after the little guys here and gals that all do that. But if I think we can find maybe a distinction between how dairy cattle are treated, feed, fed, whatever, between that and beef, we might find a little bit of a couple of ideas. The other thing is I don't think they want to actually attack the beef cattle. And I think that's too big a bite into that industry that they don't want to do that at this point. Testing requirements for other dairy cows will be based on scientific factors concerning the virus and its evolving risk profile. So, what are the testing requirements? And you can kind of, if you were paying attention, you'll be able to anticipate it. We go right to the government documents. APHIS recommendations for highly pathogenic avian influenza, H5N1 virus in livestock. For state animal health officials, accredited veterinarians, and producers. If cattle must be moved, APHIS recommends pre-movement testing of milk samples from lactating cows and nasal swabs from non-lactating cattle by PCR from influenza A and H5 virus. So there we have the consistency. If you didn't understand it before, you could pretty predict this one. So this PCR test, listen very carefully now, where we were saying before the jab it couldn't. The PCR test can find the protein string that was made in the lab described as genetic material or whole genome sequencing, so-called, because they have that string that PCR can find. And the only question then is, can that seeded novel substance, as they did in the Great COVID Swindle, with lab-created DNA models of proteins, are simply protein strings, do they have them integrated of concentration so that when you do the test of 25 cycles or so, 30 cycles maybe at the outside, it does show up? That was the other question. So when they have that particular protein string in the proper concentration, a PCR can find it in the correct number of cycles. But understand what you're dealing with there, and there is no the virus here. If this is a novel, there is no the virus. It's just by law definition, patents are novel. You can't have a natural thing that can be patented. We got that, and I read the Myriad 2 case. Straight up said that. So we don't have to go too far to figure this part out. So just as in the Great COVID Swindle, we're looking through this, these novel substances not being natural, and the report even mentions a novel movement for infection, not natural, so-called, in other words, a non-natural infectious route is the novel movement of this thing that they want to suggest comes from wild birds. None of that has been proven. So is it conceivable then the route of this novel protein string could be introduced in other vaccines or medications? The infection being merely the existence of that protein string promoted as being highly contagious, and we just dutifully believe the experts that it's a natural cause, and actually man, the farmer, the producer himself is doing this without knowledge. I'm not saying that anybody would be doing this to themselves. Producers don't do this to themselves. But they're highly reliant on experts. And very few understand what I've been talking about, what anybody could go read, and they get overwhelmed by the science, the scientism that goes on around this. And so it's just, and they got too much to do. So what are you going to do? Not make your milk? Not get the test? Is anybody going to challenge this test for what it is? They can find it, but then the question is how to get there. If it's novel, it's not natural. What's been going on? Maybe the ranchers and farmers need to start looking at what they've been doing. Maybe they're the one that's causing the movement of these protein strings. If there was something similar to mRNA technology in other things that allows for the cells to bring these protein strings into the animal and build up and concentrate, would be another pathway you'd be wanting to look at. So if it is merely a lab-made protein string, wouldn't it be easy to say it isn't contagious because it's not actually viral at all? It's chemical? So am I the only one that thinks this is not proof of a virus? We can read the PCR test lab tests for the FDA used have been detected viral genetic material even after live virus was killed by pasteurization and heat treatment, said Lee Ann Jacus, an emeritus food microbiologist and virologist at North Carolina State University. There is no evidence to date that this is an infectious virus, and the FDA is following up on that, Jacus said. Where was this lady, I suppose, during the Great COVID Swindle? To say the same thing here, folks. Then the other thing I said, these particles don't necessarily mean anything. Where was all this knowledge before that it's coming out for the cow, the cattle? Remnants of bird flu virus found in pasteurized milk, FDA says. U.S. health officials say samples of pasteurized milk have tested positive for remnants of bird flu virus that has infected dairy cows. Scientists confirmed the H5N1 virus in dairy cows in March after weeks of reports that cows in Texas were suffering from a mysterious malady. The cows were lethargic and saw a dramatic reduction in milk production. Although the H5N1 virus is lethal to commercial poultry, most infected cattle seem to recover within 2 weeks. Remember the 14 days. Well, maybe it is a flu. Maybe there is a virus, but it's been the protein string in that would be looking just like that invented, lab-made, novel virus that they've been shoving in our face since the pig's fly flu, the swine flu. Well, back in 1976, if I remember right, some of that too, right? I mean, way back. Well, that's even before 2003. In other words, they were making this stuff and then they were patenting it later, if that's the case, if we were to find out. For our purposes here, they're appearing us on the milk and saying that only dairy cattle can get it. So if this novel protein sequence was introduced through a novel route before and then tested, a cow sick with anything would test positive despite the absence of a virus, correct? In fact, it says here, the agency stressed that the material is inactivated and that the findings do not represent actual viruses that may be a risk to consumers. Official added that they are continuing to study the issue. There we go. We still don't even know, but we're going to make these assessments and we're going to tell it to you that it's fact. But does stray pieces of novel lab protein pose no risk to the consumer if eaten by someone allergic to it? Understand all this new non-beef food is all these like soybean concentrated proteins, and people are getting sick by it. If these are protein springs that your body can't handle, they can't actually say that they're not going to be causing trouble. And where was this official during the Great Soap? Kobe just wanted to say the same thing about all these positive tests before the jabs started or after, to suggest it wasn't natural or a virus, but lab fab. But be afeared, folks. This is where they want us. And this can be a concern, and I'm not going to diminish it. The way they're going at it is just like the Great Kobe Swindle, to keep everybody afeared. So step right up, folks. Get your lab fab jab today. And speaking of weasels, what the gain of function of this technology was said to kill, more effectively to kill, hasn't actually done any of that. Actually was supposed to be doing and killing weasels for some reason in the lab. That's how they were supposed to be doing that. So understand how they just segue our thoughts. We don't even realize and put it together what all this is supposed to be doing. And guess what? They did kill weasels, mammals. So that's how they get the big jump that it can affect other mammals. You, human, animal, you. But no suggestion that it's actually there. Just we have these pieces and parts. So if I saw a bunch of nuts and bolts that I could identify that came from a GM car or a truck, I guess I could say that it was that truck. And this is partly how they're doing this. Getting back over to weasel words, Stella Assange challenges U.S. over Julian's fate. Stella Assange claims U.S. diplomatic assurances offer no real protection for Julian under the First Amendment. Stella Assange has once again urged the Biden White House to give up on prosecuting her husband, Julian Assange, at the same time accusing the U.S. authorities for resorting to, quote, blatant weasel words, close quote. We need a virus for this stuff, folks. We need a good virus, a good gain-of-function virus against this stuff. When addressing the issue of granting the WikiLeaks founder's First Amendment protections, in a post on X, Stella Assange said that the diplomatic note from the U.S. that was supposed to provide assurances regarding Assange's future if extradited to the U.S. did not succeed in doing that. When it comes to the First Amendment, the note amounted to being a non-assurance, Stella wrote, which did not override the prosecution's claim her husband had no rights guaranteed in this respect because he is not a U.S. citizen. Instead, it now only said that he can seek to raise the First Amendment if he finds himself in the custody in the U.S. So that's correct. As I demonstrated a couple of weeks ago, in particular, the Rape Club federal prison, where everybody, including a priest, is involved, of admitted systemic abuse, not just sexual abuse, but they found by the federal judge to be ongoing, despite federal prosecutor assurances to the contrary. As I've asked before, in this regard, what assurances can the United States provide relative to any internationally acknowledged or recognized inhumane system, which the United States system is? Or as voluntarily as it purports to be, to not run afoul of the 13th Amendment, or plausibly so. I read about that. And why isn't the inhumane condition brought up more often by defendants asserting their right of allocution during sentencing? And there it is. Remember, I couldn't remember the right. I just can't get my mind wrapped around when I go to use it. I got it this time. The right of allocution is the right of the court. You can hear it when you hear the court asking, does the defendant have anything to say at sentencing? So this is a right of allocution. They call it a statement of allocution. It's mitigation things. Allocution is the direct address between the judge and the convicted defendant prior to sentencing. During the address, the judge speaks directly to the defendant and asks if the defendant has anything to add prior to hearing the sentence. The defendant then answers the judge and may say anything in an effort to lessen the severity of the sentence, such as an apology, an offering of remorse, or an explanation of the motives for the defendant's actions. And I'll add what's not stated in that definition. Other circumstances tending to set off a sentence, such as a prison mistreatment, or as to health, or as to age, combined with what the expected sentence will be, that puts us, let's say you're an older folk that you got convicted. Again, you're not challenging the conviction. It's on the sentence. And if they want to give you 20 years and you're an 85 years old, that's likely a death sentence. And that may run afoul of the proper punishment. You're not supposed to die on that. That's a capital punishment result. So they can't really do that. So these things are what you state during the sentencing when you are asked to say something. And the ABA will add, the allocution statement is used to mitigate the sentence to ensure that punishment is appropriate for both the crime and person who committed it, providing an, quote, opportunity to speak, close quote, prior to sentencing. The court must provide not only the defendant, but also the defendant's lawyer and the government's lawyer with opportunities for allocution. But you don't want to get this right of allocution wrong either. Remember, the part of remorse, it'll backfire on you. I'm not saying be feared of it. Understand it. To have any chance to be effective, you don't want to be frivolous. Absolutely. Don't want to make a mistake here. But you don't want to not speak. This is when you can bring it in. And given that one of the purposes of an allocution statement is to allow the court to quickly recognize the humanity of the matter before it, the proof the prison systems in the U.S. is inhumane, or uses weasel words instead of offering assurances, are such circumstances on an otherwise presumed proper condition unless it's challenged. They always say, oh, we do the law. We're always doing the law. So unless you make the challenges and you make these presentations, which they're offered, if you're listening carefully, it doesn't sound like much. Does the defendant have anything to say? It doesn't sound like much, but that could get you out of the sentence if it's right. In this case, it's an extradition hearing, and that inhumane condition in the United States, where one of the points that the judge is supposed to listen for is the humanity of it, can very well toss this out. And it should have a long time ago, what I've been saying for a long time on this. Stella Assange's, she's a lawyer also, is essentially making, in a way, an anticipatory assertion of allocution. And hopefully, she's not just doing it to ex-Twitter. Hopefully that gets put in some more. Again, we also have the politics behind all this, but notwithstanding that, I just wanted you to understand it's very important what we hear in the news and the notice and what's being overlooked and how, for us, how corrupt the government is. And I know I hear lots of people laugh. We all know it's corrupt. No, that's hardly a reflection on us, too. So we're going to be treated or mistreated by that, as we hear all the time, all the time. And I don't know where we went as a society, but here we are today. And also where weasels were faced with, Biden asks Americans to choose between freedom and democracy. Some of the stuff I can't even imagine comes out of this guy's mouth, but here it is. And everyone thinks he's a candidate. But the president's latest blunder comes as the majority of Americans doubt his mental capacity for office. U.S. president, is it just the Americans doubt? Wasn't it just he was just kept from suffering a prosecution because he had no mental capacity? U.S. President Joe Biden has implored his supporters to choose, quote, freedom over democracy, close quote, in the latest of a long sense of guffaws and verbal blunders. Conservative pundits viewed the incident as more proof that the 81-year-old is unfit for office. Speaking at a campaign rally in Pennsylvania on Thursday, Biden rattled off a string of buzzwords as he asked voters whether they would choose him over former President Donald Trump in November's presidential election. Are these blunders and guffaws, really? Or might they have been the core of the intent? Listen carefully to what mind programming that goes on. This is really an interesting notice and apparent cognitive warfare technique. How many see what that notice appears to be? Mental capacity here aside, he's not writing the speech. Is the phrase to choose freedom or democracy a blunder? When one considers that we don't actually live in a democracy, his reference places one somewhere else than the organic establishment for the viewer to accept without question. And when one is familiar with the definition that freedom is the range of motion within a frame of constraint, and looking at the future that they want, one ought to conclude that asking people to go from a democracy to freedom is not an erroneous request, more than a programming technique to gain the future consent of the governed through unobjective acceptance. For just as one here in the world asked for local officials to demonstrate compliance with the local communicable disease law and the great COVID swindle, which supercharged the pump to bring the future that they want, will anyone ask, who built the frame of constraint within which our freedom of range of motion within which we are confined depends, even at 81 years old? So when one knows the future that they are planning and sadly executing flawlessly against us, one can already see what the range of motion within the frame of third-party liability to sustainability goals is going to be. One will also see democracy, even direct democracy, will not be available in preference to the voluntary servitude to a green religion gretocrat, the range of your free movement reduced to 2 second city controlled by one social credit score in the new panopticonocratic Siberian concentration camp. So I'll ask again, is it such an error for a future global leader to ask the majority, would they please switch from an ineffectual democracy to our definition of freedom? And while pondering that, never forget, that frame of constraint starts with enjoying exactions of every kind and no other. And that equally applied law cannot be impaired by non-governmental public-private governance. All of which anyone can read at 42 U.S.C. 1981 and particularly go to see for the prohibition against impairment, i.e. removing or relieving one from the governmental wrongful extortion that civil right is about. So go read it, folks. Don't just listen to me. Go read it. See it in your eyes. It's very important. Get the black and white in your eyes. This is since Lincoln's time this was done. And they modified it as well as they went through. Remember, Lincoln was just a scurrilous lawyer. Just as any usurping bar association members today, the organization of which is the House Delegates Resolution as far back as 1991 enables the promotion of sustainable development to unduly influence the judiciary, a public-private governance transforming this nation, all nations, to the future global gulag. That's your just us system pretentiously pretending to serve you when it actually is serving you up. Case by incremental case. And I've said this all before, it's taken these opportunities to remind us. Well, we may look at this guy and think he's a buffoon, and he might be, but the people writing those statements behind him that he's supposed to try and participate with, at least as an oration, are telling us something. Anybody could read that statement, it doesn't have to be the president, and understand, the way I've been doing the analysis for decades now, what they're trying to tell us. I don't know that that's, they'll say it's a blunder and a guffaw, you'll not listen to it, but that's a technique. As soon as you diminish it, it becomes powerful in you. You think it's not going on. So how did this long-suffering that they know to do that starting way back when, with these laws, that we see it almost fulfilled when we the people agree to go from democracy to freedom, is how far behind the people are seeing the threat almost able to consumerize them. And remember, as I routinely explain, having freedom is not being free. One would be wise here to find the term freedom, with a U, F-R-E-D-U-M, dumb, to see freedom is misspelled relative to what is being applied. So Biden's cognitive decline, which people have glommed onto in the criticism, may be just a Trojan horse here, a stalking horse cover to program the masses of whatever party or candidate they support. So I'll ask it instead of the cognitively impaired Biden after hearing the contextual element, are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? Or are you now understanding both of those are false options? And we the people have substantial work to do then to cause the they to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. That's on us. I keep talking about international law. That's on us. And despite my advocacy, these pro-Palestinian protests that bloomed overnight are highly suspicious to me, as this is a seems to me to be a counter-op, the purpose of which is to move people toward supporting the Zionists, as they just did with Biden, getting you to maybe think he's mentally incapable. He actually programs you to accept a reality that's less on a word, a street word. We can agree with freedom is on a street. You can't agree with what freedom is when it gets into a legal or lawful context where someone is dictating it to you, because that's what it is, the freedom that they dictate to you. Civil rights is a freedom, but it's extortion. So bringing all these things up, I say this because all the protests that we are seeing out now making the news, they just seem to be more sloganeering. Nobody brings such things as a history or international agreements or anything you might hear behind a woodshed to support, make a foundation objectively, black and white foundation for how things were supposed to be, so you can understand how far off it has gone and then be able to identify the culprits using that as a cover, to cover them up as their own camouflage. No different than Biden being cognitive, you might can perceive him to be cognitively impaired. He could be. It doesn't matter. They've just programmed people with that statement. And it agrees very highly with the future that they want. So when as I'm looking through these reports and notices to us, to me, they make a certain sense. And this next story here, as we're moving through these, again, the pro-Palestinian protests around the country and the universities, is becoming a bit disturbing in that the tin soldiers of Biden's coming, returning to Ohio. And we have plenty of evidence that internal civil strife is fomented at universities. As we read, disturbing video, snipers spotted on Ohio and Indiana use the university roofs as pro-Palestine protests intensify. Now, these snipers were not at any BLM protests that I understood, it seems. And other reports say that the snipers were there to protect Jewish students. So why protect only the Jewish students? And how would they even know, being way on the high tops, looking down, unless these students were a plant to allow the government escalation if it's needed? These snipers have been said to be set up there for counterterrorism. So now we're going to date this, but it actually starts before. Counterterrorism, we started the war of terror. Now, not even at Kent State, the anniversary here approaching, where four students were massacred and nine wounded on May 4th, 1970, were protesters of the Vietnam War presumed terrorists. And even though what started as a student-led strike spilled into the streets into a riot and then the razing of the ROTC recruitment building back at the college campus, being the mere student protesters label does not serve a number of foreign or domestic government agents today, extremists, as it is now going to be, despite the absence of the building burning and the National Guard missteps that were done back in 1970. This is all a setup that we can watch rolling out, and right in time to another anniversary. And as well here, the same presumed extremist label here for my post-PATRIOT Act listener due to this very same government usurpation since at least way back when as well. And isn't it interesting, I find it is anyway, isn't it interesting as well that the condition of the economy today being compared to that of the 70s and right before removing the last vestige of sound money in 1971, which is on the cusp today of having not even that fiat to go to with the future token citizenship. It's not an historical repeat. It's certainly a rhyme. And I've been saying cautious on what we think we're listening and looking for and who we think is going to save us from it. And this is just an ongoing exploitation of people. And our memories are too short. And as I found out, even if you have a decent memory, you want it just so overwhelming, you don't really respond. And then we don't respond the way we should be and should respond. And it takes quite a bit of work. And it takes quite a bit of experience. Maybe a lot more than any one of us has anyway. Why I say mutually defend yourself. Pull together with people you get along with and start to work out how you're going to defend yourself from all this cognitive warfare is all I can tell. That's going on. It's softening up the targets, and that's you, the listener. But potentially so. You know, you'll say, oh, I won't, but remember, your inaction can be that what they want from someone like you. But getting back over into what this whole season coming into is relative to the voting, in any regard of one's status, the promoters of democracy would entice, despite they don't do what's right, but what's gets a vote under color of democracy, acting like communists, but promoting social fascism. We see two birds with one stone. Biden targets radical IDF unit with sanctions to placate his voters. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken is planning to imminently announce sanctions against IDF Netzah Yehuda battalion, with the measures expected to stop the battalion fighters from being able to receive U.S. military assistance and training. And remember, all for votes here. The Israeli military moved the Netzah Yehuda battalion, which consists mostly of ultra-Orthodox. Well, listen, when you go through, you got to ask the question, ultra-Orthodox? I thought it was the ultra-Orthodox absolutely resisted the army. But let me finish reading this thing here. Which consists mostly of ultra-Orthodox and hardcore Zionist forces. Okay, so it's not Orthodox religious people, Orthodox Zionist Federation movement people, extremist Zionists comprising their own battalion, not unlike the Nazi Azov battalion in the Ukraine. If we're looking at models, we see another one. So this Zio-Zov battalion was so extreme, it had to be moved from that area. We read, out of the West Bank and away from contact with the Palestinians in late 2022, but no actions were taken to punish members suspected of human rights abuses. So Blinken executes a tried-and-true scapegoat off-ramp to make it appear Biden is taking action while leaving the rest of the monstrosity to do its own bidding, or Bidening, as it were. So that was the setup for the issue. Now, we now hear the story is they're not actually going to sanction anybody. It's all for public consumption. It's all going to be for votes. They're playing a tune to this voting condition. And people are not really responding except bringing out their pom-poms. But not going to do it like this, listening to misguided or short-sighted or narrow-minded leaders that aren't really listening to us, not really representing us, not doing exactly what Biden did. This time it's going to be a Republican, pointing a small thing out when there's a bigger deal. But we all focus on the small thing, or a slightly aside thing, or an incomplete thing. That we see U.S. state to teach kids dangers of communism. Now, you think this is all politics? This is transforming your mind. This is softening up the targets, all this stuff. A new law seeks to make students immune to ideological indoctrination in colleges and universities. The government itself is the main indoctrination center. You can deny that, you can agree that it is, and you can fight it, you can resist it, but they're still programming people. And as I said, non-action is also part of the plan that they want. They don't want people actually doing what they need to do. The occupier doesn't want you to be effective. A new law seeks to make students immune from ideological indoctrination. But they won't teach you to not like government, that's for sure. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has signed into the state law a bill that would mandate curriculum about, quote, the dangers and evils of communism for students starting in kindergarten. Legislation was signed on the anniversary of the botched U.S. attempt to topple Cuban communist leader Fidel Castro at the height of the Cold War. The law, which will take effect in July, requires all public schools to teach the history of communism in an age-appropriate manner beginning in the 2026-2027 school year. Touting the legislation, the governor stressed that we will not allow our students to live in ignorance nor be indoctrinated by communist apologists in schools. To the contrary, we will ensure students in Florida are taught the truth about the evils and dangers of communism. Well, the joke is on DeSantis, except he's likely in on the sleight of hand. It isn't merely communism, but sustainable development, public-private partnership, fascism his state already embraces, forcing taxpayers to pay for their transformation from a Republican form of constitutional republic to a techno-fascist Soviet Siberian gulag in the very minimum. So as they have you focused on the evils of communism, they're going to foist on you all the rest. I hope you understand the technique. I don't see this Republican doing any different than Biden did. You just got to listen for the words. And you can buy into freedom. You can buy into democracy. You can even not like either one. They're still programming most of the public. Because if you don't understand what they've done, you're going to sit quiet and they will win. It's just how it works. And from Florida, another interesting story. A Florida man, no less, what he says about Trump and Biden before he self-immolates. Pretty sad here, and I'm really disappointed a bit in people. But this is where they go. Man dies after setting himself on fire outside a Trump hush money trial in New York. The deceased was identified by police as Max Azzarello, a self-proclaimed investigative researcher from Florida. The pamphlets distributed by Azzarello included a link to a Substack account on which he identified himself as an investigative researcher, a manifesto allegedly written by Azzarello and posted on the website. The Ponzi Papers said, "My name is Max Azzarello, and I am an investigative researcher who has set himself on fire outside of the Trump trial in Manhattan. This extreme act of protest is to draw attention to an urgent and important discovery. We are victims of a totalitarian con, and our government, along with many of their allies, is about to hit us with an apocalyptic fascist world coup." They interject here on this. Not communist coup, a fascist coup. Max Azzarello was a lot more correct here. Fascism isn't the only thing, but it's not just communism. Ponzi schemes are vicious beasts, and cryptocurrency is history's largest Ponzi by orders of magnitude. It could be best described as an economic doomsday device intentionally made to shatter the world economy. The United States government is fully involved in this totalitarian con. I don't know anything about him or his work here, as I'm listening to him write as we saw the news, but he writes that there is more info on his site. And if you go read it, you go to that site, you'll see some books he wrote. And I haven't had a chance to read them yet, but you may want to get a copy of them and start reading. People may want to get this, and why I'm saying this is because he came very closely to what anybody can possibly do, even if you don't do a very deep research. That both, again, we got the Uniparty. They induce you and entice you on certain ways. There's no distinction. It's just how they're getting there and how fast. And that's really the only difference. And our interaction again with Trump was a disappointment. Everything was going to change. You know, things were going to change. No, he's not interested in actually doing important work. For us, it was land disposal, production, keeping manufacturers at home. And I'm not talking about the companies. I'm talking about people. They didn't want to have anything to do with this. And we could have, in fact, because of our lawsuit in 2013, we had the ability to identify. Everyone talked about the swamp. Yeah, he's got his, it's up around his neck, but he agreed. He put it all there. He's not getting rid of it. It's just the way they're going to do it. We don't understand the connections that are behind the scenes, that it really all connect back to the same world powers, if you will, the deciders, the planners. So there's a picture of Max Azzarello holding a sign that more succinctly says, Trump is with Biden and they're about to fascist coup us. And I'm going to talk to you all that feel this strongly that end up deciding to do what Max did to himself. Stop killing yourselves. Give yourselves a more long-lived purpose by finding places to keep your message going out. On the other hand, if you have destructive thoughts, as it is reported here about Azzarello, however true, on top of it all, seek help. As hard as that might be or seem for you. Your voice, I've been asking people to step forward with what they know. Step forward and start telling people. Channel your energy. Your voice and your research is still needed to counterbalance the future that they want. When I see, without even researching any very deeply, Max Azzarello was mentioning tidbits here and there of everything I've found. And it may be that there's not enough of us that are speaking. We don't need you to leave it to others to diminish you in your smoldering absence. As we can read right there in the story, NYPD Deputy Commissioner Tarek Shepard at a press conference briefing says, right now we are labeling him as a sort of conspiracy theorist, and we are going from there. So see, he's diminished now. This guy had a bigger point to make regarding Max Azzarello, has a bigger point to make regarding exactly what I just mentioned right before. Though I don't know his particular research. He'd come to the same conclusion, but his important viewpoint on this has already been marginalized by those he would have been able to identify and speak out against. Marginalized. Because communism, folks. And it's not just communism. And so I find you get these isms together, and everyone wants to pigeonhole their mind, and it's not any of that. That's just a technique. You think it's about everyone gets their pom-poms out about anti-communists, because you know it's going to be talking about Russia. You know it's going to be talking about China. And what they're all implementing, including the United States, is hardly anything. Communism is only maybe not even the half of what's going on against people globally. So, Max Azzarello and those that feel like Max, please keep your word coming out. Focus your attention on that. Give to the world, even though it doesn't sound like much comes from it. People are listening. It takes a long, long, long time. It's amazing how long and how resistant people are. And there's only a few of us that seem to get, as my perspective, that seem to have foundations, that seem to produce the facts. All you got to do is go read it. And like I said, I don't know what Max Azzarello had put together, but you may want to get those links and you may want to get that material and see, maybe start matching up with what he found with what others find. I keep thinking, when I think of Max Azzarello, the way he was talking, my mind goes to this gentleman named Stephen Ames. I think I've just mentioned him before. He was one of the first and few that stepped forward to try and start to show this historical lineage through history of these people that live in the world, of the world, that control every one of us by all kinds of means. But as we see, you're not around to defend your viewpoint or even engage in people to continue it. You're marginalized immediately. That's how part of that game works as well. But I can't, even his sign. We used to do the signboarding. Few words, big letters, few words. Make a point, make a good point. Convey an idea. Did that for years. It gets some interest, but it doesn't get the following, the follow through following that you need. And that's because people look at a distance. They don't get involved. They don't find the thing that bothers them to the point that they want to stop that thing that they don't like. And so there's got to be more than just holding a sign. But that sign said a whole lot, a ton. And I'm a little bit sad to hear that he decided he needed to kill himself. It becomes more like, if you get that kind of research, that comes to the same point. We're standing shoulder to shoulder at the stinking abyss. And I've said this for years and years. There's a few that have done that, but they're very few. And quite a few of them are not here. And I don't know what the counterbalance is when we're not here to say things. And so I ask people to do your studies, do your research, do your investigative reporting, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to call it, become knowledgeable, black and white, but foundationally knowledgeable, and then spread the word. Become your own infection with these new ideas. They're not really new, but people are indoctrinated to respond in ways that won't address them. And it's actually quite astonishing as I've been walking and going through all of this. I guess I can say this, hopefully past the hour, anybody tuning in, this is a BTW-RLM 574. And remember, you can't go wrong when you get behind the woodshed. You do your study, you do your foundation, you have the word in your mouth, and there's nobody that can get around you. Doesn't mean they can't, because there's a lot of force and effect in the world that doesn't want the truth, the foundation, to be stated. But if you're not here, you can be marginalized and your word get disappeared. Talk about the Mandela effect. Yeah. That's kind of how that works. Or that justice is not coming from the government. The U.S. will not sanction IDF units despite human rights violations. As I was reporting before, they were threatening for votes. And the answer comes back a week later. No, we're not going to do it. The Biden administration has decided against cutting off military aid for 3 military battalions with the Israeli Defense Forces, despite determining that they committed gross human rights violations against Palestinian civilians in the West Bank. And that little tag, civilians, is very, very important under international law. That would be what I've talked about before, that the belligerent occupier called the Zionist Federation Movement does not have the right to attack any civilians or any of the political actions of Hamas. And where the Biden administration was pussyfooting around well, we can't see any human rights violations. Apparently, this report is they determined there were. And they now still won't it. And why would it? If it doesn't see any human rights violations in the whole of Gaza. Not mentioned here in this story about what? The West Bank. The assessment was outlined in a letter sent to U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken to House Speaker Mike Johnson. Sanctions were also expected to target other military and police forces in Israel involved in rights violations. The United States Department of State has been investigating Israeli military units for more than a year due to potential violations of human rights. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said on Sunday that he was fiercely opposed to any sanctions, while Israel's National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir warned that the sanctions against the unit would be a red line. And they got lots of red ink, don't they? But what red line can the Zionist welfare queen have? Is the amount of undue influence, corruption, or compromised politicians there at home any indication? Those that control the purse at home? It doesn't seem like anymore it's the House of Congress, but the House of the corruption of the compromised. They don't serve the people. They serve themselves and their handlers that are international pirates. I don't know where we went as a nation, but you can just watch. You know them when you see them. U.S. House bill passes a bill to give frozen assets, Russian assets to Ukraine. There's no end now to the crime. House lawmakers, I almost choked right there. Lawmakers? Lawless laws, if you understand this duality in the world already. House lawmakers passed the bill dubbed the 21st Century Peace Through Strength Act. In a vote of 360 in favor and 558 opposed. So I guess all bank robbers and other thieves can say the same thing. I'm committing peace and through strength. The legislation allows the executive branch to transfer frozen Russian sovereign assets to Ukraine. Russia views the attempts by the U.S. and the EU to seize Russian assets as theft and also as an act of a trade war. And the foreign minister spokeswoman Maria Zakharova has warned that Moscow would have a tough response to such an escalation of economic aggression. So how is it lawful to thou stealest and give it to another when thou shalt not steal? And if those criminal Congress critters would steal without right, title, interest, or privity, the sovereign property of Russia without lawful due process, how can it be expected the U.S. or state governments won't steal private property from you? We have a fallen government here, no different than any fallen angel, and it's being condemned for that. As I mentioned, the United States government spitting into a hurricane or a hemicane if you're needy. The United States is about to reap the whirlwind and beyond anything Russia has in store. 100% failure means this is 100% of a plan to fail. And that means for you at home, and possibly the world, or the targets, the war against people. You see, it's just politics. No, you end up seeing a transformation of politics outside that into just a big slavery. And then someone does the analysis. EU will lose more than Russia if it confiscates assets. It's not good enough that it's just not done if you don't steal someone else's stuff, especially sovereign debt on the world stage. You just don't, you're not supposed to do that. Lawmakers are ready to introduce a bill on retaliatory measures, the country's top senator says. Moscow has drafted a package of retaliatory measures in the event that Western countries seize Russian sovereign assets that have been frozen over Ukraine conflict, Senior Senator Valentina Matvienko warned on Tuesday. In an interview, the Russian journalist Dmitry Kiselyov, the chairwoman of the Federal Council, said that the EU's potential move to confiscate Russian assets will be unprecedented, adding that it would destroy the global economy. Quote, of course, it would be absolutely illegal, and everyone in Europe understands that they can't do that, the official stated. So I remember I've said, made it highlight of these words, I've said to keep an eye on things unprecedented. They can and usually or likely are very important situations developing. So Moscow has tactically advanced its response ahead of any EU action on the unprecedented condition, apparently and effectively getting the attention of the EU on something, sovereign asset forfeiture, that everyone knows is unlawful, yet disgracefully, even sinfully, the United States just claimed to be able to do. Just a common thief if you'd reduce it down to if it was people. I also noticed two things. The U.S. intends to destroy the global economy, given we give weight to what Russia just said. So it must be asked first, to what purpose or to usher in what plan beyond the current system? I had an interesting set of thoughts coming to me. I don't really have an answer. But they are saying this would destroy that global system. What are we going to be looking at? I'm not really in on and heard where that transition is made. The second observation I have, where it is understood here, sovereign asset forfeiture is universally unlawful. What does that mean Americans are not, that they have, can have the government seize their assets by its own judicial branch? And I guess I'll to clarify that, you must not be sovereign. For all those that think that they are, for all that we've heard, the people are the sovereigns. Something has changed a long time ago. We can say for sure Americans are no longer the sovereigns on their own land. What other word may describe their current plight or status does not matter at that point. So Americans are not a free people, despite any promotion to the contrary. They have freedom. And voting doesn't alter that subject status nor make things any better. In fact, such a deceptive device as a voter registration card consents to the subjugation. Go read it, folks. Go read a voter registration card if you think I'm wrong or incorrect. And then go read 42 U.S.C. 1981, your equal right, your civil right, your right to pay extortions until you understand that connection. It's all right before us in very short order, and we just know kind of where to look. And I've been pointing this out for a long, long time. And I'm, in a way, it's proof of the integrity of the research and study. But I'm amazed that a long time ago I was able to hone in down onto it, and it's still... there's just no errors in the observation so far. So take it to the bank. Find out your own proofs so that you aren't going to be persuaded away. And then go read the state statute that might have recognized, when you get done reading that, go to your state statute and go read where the state statute might have recognized a different status to vote. That should be there too. And if and you find it, use that with the knowledge it does not change the balance of ignorance that you might know different in your vote, even if you find the separateness. But doing it in that way, if you see that, you see that difference. It's not that resident of the United States, federal. You see the other one. What it does for you, or it can help you and remove one more presumptive connective leash that might be used by you to avoid the equal treatment of extortions or exactions of every kind, or people treated as U.S. property or subject to the jurisdiction thereof, as you'll read it claimed in 42 U.S.C. 1981. So, and remember here, one is not sovereign because what one says, but of what one's deeds are of record indeed. And people don't quite get this. You can claim to be sovereign all the time, and you won't be, because you haven't acted that way. And a sovereign will show they're not subject. Doesn't mean you can be a criminal. That's universally forbidden. What I'm saying relative to government is that in the United States, there's a limited form. And until you understand how they stripped you of the limitation against them, we, as a people, aren't going to have a clue on how to stop this. And they get it through the cheerleading voting. However, there's another status. As I said, you can have an address or you can have a location. If you know what I just said, you'll know where in your statute to find that, and they're distinct and different. One concedes jurisdiction, the other does not. And here we have a third notice. Even a sovereign nation is no longer protected from commercial piracy. And note, this mercantile is under admiralty law, if memory serves, trumping international law, as we're watching it being destroyed by the rules-based order. And people wonder why that guy named Trump might be doing or even blindly supporting him on this is a wonder to me. And this unprecedented, they said, they've identified this as an unprecedented condition is the one fact that gives support to Russia's observation and warning, indeed, of the very real potential for this global economic destruction. I've been showing that there's been a global financial system. They're saying that'll be destroyed. Maybe why no properly functioning nation intending peace would consider what the United States just so-called put in law. But that which the U.S. did do, or ostensibly so, if it can be said to not be overturned, again, it's presumed law until overthrown. It's just open theft of another's property, despite thou shalt not steal, for those of us that may have thought that this was a God-fearing country, started under God-fearing purposes. No, it wasn't that way. Go read and go find out. So the potential planned destruction of the current financial system, the concurrence for which is provided by Germany's Scholz saying the era of fossil fuels is over, impliedly so too then the petrodollar is destroyed. Climate change aside, or as a cover for this, actually, this next plan maybe that's sitting there, the thought that came to me about this. What alternative has the United States or its golden shareholding crown or through the advisors of this historical majesty been planning to take and then put in its place? Go through the history of the United States. There's old world working right now along this, in these whole lines. And then the problem is, what system are they going to put in place that's universally trusted? Is a very interesting potential. As you watch distrust now developing, whatever might be coming, if this is true, it literally destroys the existing global financial system and there's a replacement. Everyone's going to have to be immediately trusting in it. That would seem like a very far out possibility or potential, but it's now materially on the table. With these acknowledgments, just all international law, sovereign debt, there's no sovereigns, it's all just piracy. Or what you can protect from the piracy. And what this appears to be, this is the case, that the game board could be about to be kicked, displacing all the pieces and peace. And it's terrifying if you think about it in its scope. Again, no law, no order, no peace. And the order is developed out of the chaos, as we hear in the slogans. Yet the token citizens, even without being blockchained, those not developed in their alternatives will likely have no escape either, as I've been asking people to do best you can. And it's in part because saying the people are sovereign is not being sovereign indeed, just as having freedom is not being free. And then there are the occupiers. No one throughout, as international law required, and they exploit us. Matvienko stressed that Russia has a prepared response to a potential confiscation. We will have a bill that we are all ready to consider immediately in response, and the Europeans will lose more than we will. Of course, they are afraid of this, especially given that their economy is collapsing. And look out as to why. Energy depletion and manufactured production going destroyed. The senator argued that Washington has crushed the EU both politically and economically. In the defense of the security area, it used to be a vassal, but now it has been simply squashed by the Americans. They now want to strangle it even more to make it even less competitive, which we've predicted here behind the woodshed, as can be seen, would be what they need to do. Again, bring everybody into parity. There's only going to be a few that are in control. So, and at this point, to destroy that from the ashes, His Majesty's holdings, his planners, the agents and controllers, the crown, they rise like a phoenix from those ashes. As I'm trying to conceive of what there really might be going on here, if this is really true, the whole system collapses, what's going to take its place? Except when you think about that as well, being the planners of the world, it was never them in the dire straits from which they rise and benefit stronger and better than anybody can or will. It's not the plan. They come up. You don't. So take heed of this potential. I kind of got lost in thinking about, wow, if this is true, go down that road, start thinking it through. This is an unprecedented opportunity upon this notice to prepare best as you can here, folks. Foundations of economic system at risk if Russia assets seize is now coming from Russia again. The U.S. will shoot itself in the foot if the House approved bill is implemented, Moscow has warned. This is how much chaos begins to happen. Washington has long advocated the seizure of Russian funds held in Western jurisdictions. And when I say Russia, put that to you. Say this is you. This is your funds. This is what they've been doing to you in the Western jurisdiction. People are being destroyed. They call it Washington here from Russia. The money would then be handed over to Kiev for its war effort against Russia. A new push came on Saturday after the U.S. House approved the bill of authorizing the confiscation of Russian money. Open theft here. How is that lawful? It's beyond me to even contemplate. If the White House follows through, it will set a dangerous precedent, Peskov said. This would be nothing short of a breakdown of all foundations of global economic system, he told journalists, reiterating that Moscow's position in no way could that be considered as a lawful action. Many nations and many investors would certainly think 10 times before putting their money into the American economy or parking assets there. In the least, folks, this would prove no money is safe with any Western affiliated system. For this tactic to work, to destroy this financial system, which would include the West and BRICS as well, the crown planners of the world would have to have another system and then convince nations it is a safe place, as I've been saying. This is really an unprecedented, almost it doesn't even, it pales the word of what this may be actually showing. And I just say, there's no thing I've known of what would be set up to replace this existing system that would be able to let it function. Part of me says it's not going to fail like they're saying, but when you read the certainty by which what's going to come down, and it will, you already saw it. Russia pulled the trigger on enough was enough, and you're watching the dominoes fall. And I told you what that would be under the existing system. But to look at it as a concept that it would destroy that system completely, it's pretty ominous, and I have a sense that it could be done. I'm just not savvy enough to figure it out what that replacement would be. And I can go off onto some other tangents, but I won't. Not so much a tangent when you start giving this power of being a potential. But the anyway, it's very interesting. Keep your eyes open on this. And another threat in place thought by some sovereign safe haven destroyed by demonocracy here. These are, you know, sovereign debt was supposed to be an international law safe haven for the sovereign, whoever they might be. But it's all being destroyed. And it can't be because it's righteous. But as I've said before, demonocracy, there's an evil in this world at some point. At some point, there is an evil in this world. I just rephrased that right there. And I think it kind of reared its ugly head for permanence in our fraudulent 2008-2009 economic destruction that brought most of all this in, and then just kind of barreled over by the Covey swindle. But the religious orthodoxy under attack here, apparently there's no separation between church and state in the demonocracy of Estonia. Remember, they've said all these Eastern European countries are democracies. Well, look what Ukraine turns out to be. But EU state threatens to close Christian monasteries over Moscow ties. Estonian Interior Minister Lauri Läänemets had previously also suggested labeling the Russian Orthodox Church a terrorist organization. As I mentioned before, Kent State, they were just students that were striking. Now you're considered a terrorist, to the point that they'll put snipers on the roofs to protect certain chosen people, just notwithstanding your so-called freedom of speech and association. Orthodox Christian monasteries in Estonia could be forced to shut down if they do not sever their ties with Russian Orthodox Church, the EU state's interior minister laments, has warned. Speaking to the news outlet ERR on Tuesday, he claimed that such links pose a security risk to the country. The minister visited the Monastery on Tuesday to explain to its leaders the government's position that all churches, parishes, and monasteries that are subordinate to the Moscow Patriarchy and essentially to the Kremlin regime and related security issues must take steps to stop the subordination. Earlier this month, the ministers had also revealed that he is preparing for proposition to the Estonian parliament to officially label the ROC a terrorist organization with the goal of banning all of its activities in the country. The Estonian Orthodox Church, however, has stated that it does not intend to unilaterally cut its canonical ties with Moscow Patriarchy, explaining that the ROC, quote, has not accepted anything at the church level that would force such a move. Note this is the same method used by the United States, the presumption of guilt by mere suggestion. Guilty by association is not much different than what we now see as geofencing. It's prejudicial defamation in labeling, the Anti-Defamation League defamation. This fifth element, all without case-by-case lawful due process, what the demonocracy does over there, the United States is doing to you over here. If you don't think so, look around and keep looking until you see it. Then consider doing something about that wrong that comes into your focus for you to stop it. Because this is not just about destruction of the freedom of religion. If people haven't noticed or sufficiently so, this is where we don't get this kind of evil generally unless this is getting into a spiritual arena, if you will. And now I'm going to attach just a little bit the destruction of the existing financial system and where we might be able to go with there. That's where it's going if that's the case. This is beyond Allah, beyond man. This is all a very interesting play going on. We're witnessing it, but we're not going to have a chance unless we can prepare and find our alternatives and have our mind set up for it. And again, the criminality that's out there, the defamation, the false witnessing in the world, with the discovery Ukraine falsely witnessed 160 children that were kidnapped by Russia. They were just found in Germany with their families in a safe place. We now hear that Russia and Ukraine are to exchange minors from separated families. And so the truth coming out caused a correction. That now Russia and Ukraine can go ahead and get their families that were separated back together. The agreement was reached during guitar-mediated tech talks. It wasn't a musical talk, guitar-mediated talks. Russia Children Rights Commissioner Maria Lvova-Belova has said the talks were held with Qatar's mediation, Russian Children Rights Commissioner, and under the deal, Moscow will take in 19 children and send 29 home to Ukraine. The talks were held in the capital of the Arab nation and amounted to the first in-person negotiation of this kind between Moscow and Kiev, according to Lvova-Belova. Last year, the Russian official was loudly accused by the International Criminal Court of forcing the deportation and transfer of minors in the context of the Ukrainian conflict. President Vladimir Putin was named as a second suspect in the case. Moscow dismissed the ICC allegations, saying they were politically motivated and misrepresenting Moscow's actions. In reality, Russian officials had evacuated civilians to protect them from violence, officials claim. So, shamefully on the part of the West and the ICC, which is now conclusively shown to be a political, not judicial body, imposing presumptive guilt, as we, the people, are presumptively guilty ourselves. Evidence, for one instance, the J6 defendants, while those falsely witnessed run amok, but worse, they run amok to continue their criminal deeds, these Congress critters, destroying evidence. And we think America is actually free? Only the criminal element here is free anymore. So as I look over there, I keep having to look back and find us, if you will, our government, those in government. Can't even believe it's a government anymore. But we see the reflection. If the truth can keep coming out, it finally wins the day. And then things can happen. Why I think it's important, if you have something to say, you have research, and it's foundational, don't take yourself out. And as we look through these stories, these kidnapped kids, and they were put under trafficking, Ukraine was a trafficking nation, a child trafficking nation, human slavery as well. That's kind of lost in that story as well. But we at least get some families that are now shifting back and forth, 160 of which were actually in Germany. But we look a little bit closer at the family here, and most of those families have mothers and fathers that are legally married, but maybe not for long if computer tied to AI gets involved. And here's the precedent for today, for the near possible future. Judge refuses Control Z divorce over order made by a misclick. Computers says you're single, and that's going to be the law. With a click more potent than Cupid's arrow, the solicitor issued a final order of divorce in proceedings between Mrs. Williams and the applicant wife and Mr. Williams. As the court attempted to untangle this knot and this directionless decree by the Deputy District Court Judge Underhill seemed to resolve the issue by setting aside the divorce order. However, this order was marred by vague wording and questionable legality, leading to further disputes about Mr. and Miss Williams, who were indeed married or divorced. Thus, it was over to McFarlane, who agreed with the husband's lawyer that there was no authority for setting aside a decree absolute where there had been complete procedural regularity. Listen very carefully to the precedent being set here, folks. This is not, I couldn't believe what I was reading. He ruled that it was in the public interest that a final order of divorce should be unimpeachable when granted by a court with competent jurisdiction and after compliance with the correct procedural requirements. A final order made without procedural irregularities should stand for all the world. Now, if this is a reflexive law, I don't know. If this is an anticipating AI and the Gretocrats, you know, what they determine is law. And as long as the rubber stamp's laid down on the paper just right, that's it. This is a really terrible precedent to be set, but here it is. I think they're setting it up here on purpose. He further advised, if the wife has a remedy for what has occurred, it is through an action for negligence against her solicitor and not by seeking to set aside the final order. The court is the final word. Ayesha Vardag, head of the law firm, took issue with the ruling, reportedly telling the BBC that the judge's decision boiled down to, the computer says no, you're divorced. And in one order mistake here, the mistake is no longer a reason for correction, if you understand what they're doing here. The proceedings of the court were deemed adequate. That's it. She described the verdict as a bad decision and that the state should not be divorcing people on the basis of clerical error, insisting there was has to be an intention on the part of the person divorcing. I need to interject. There is no intention on bad behavior that a Gretocrat will find against sustainability goals. You're watching it right here in this case being determined that way. There's no intent, no knowledge needed in an agency action. You're already subject before you got there. Quote, when a mistake is brought to the court's attention, I'm going to restate that. When a mistake is brought to a court's attention and everyone accepts that a mistake has been made, it obviously has to be undone, she said. So now, as I think, mistake. Have anybody who's read the Uniform Commercial Code, are they going to now amend the Uniform Commercial Code for this new computer-based perfection? I wonder if removing fraud, which is in that same section of the Uniform Commercial Code, is next in this presumption of voluntary servitude to the infallible judiciary. If you start to understand the domino effects that start to happen here and what the dangers are, evidence of voluntary servitude under due process of law, slavery not prohibited by the Constitution, we read, the court said this practice, at least in the case it is considered, is not unconstitutional. The appeal was lodged by Jeremy Payne, a defendant in a drug distribution case who was compelled by the police to unlock his phone with his thumbprint. Payne, and punishment, I suppose, a parolee, listen to the status, argued that his Fourth Amendment rights were breached when an officer, Coddington, unlocked his phone using his thumbprint without his consent. Payne's parole conditions required him to submit to searches, but he claimed a specific attachment to the agreement exempted him from the use of biometrics to unlock his phone. The judge dismissed Payne's claim, emphasizing that the general search condition applied to him as a parolee. You folks don't think status is really important. And then consider maybe we're none of us are not parolees, but for this story, despite his assertion that the attachment superseded the broader search agreement, the court sided with law enforcement. The judge clarified that the general search condition provided enough authority for the officer's actions. The three-judge panel was satisfied that the police could have accomplished the same task even if Payne was unconscious. So they saw no evidence of the suspect and later defendant being driven to engage in self-incrimination. Those of you that are listening and interested in this, get this link, read it very carefully and slowly and start thinking about what they're saying here. Apply it back into, these are the elements of how they're encroaching incrementally on what we thought were other rights. But in this case, not so much. That parolee status is taking this guy down, notwithstanding his rights, because he's voluntarily waived them. The self-incrimination would have had to do with the physical action of forcibly pressing a thumb onto the device did not intrude on the contents of Paine's mind. Start parsing these out, because you're going to have to understand where these borders are as they continue to come in, and they're going to wipe some of this away. They're wiping it away relative to your behavior in a governance standpoint, where due process is whatever the bureaucrat says. You were conditioned before you got there, like you do a contract, like you would do when you enter the bank and you have your account. It's not your money. It's not your account. They are doing it as a favor at some point, and they are making decisions on the system side, not your side. Something you think was money, but it never is. It says it right on there. It's Federal Reserve notes or debts. There you go here. As a parolee, you volunteered to this treatment serving the state. This is more in the article to glean on. There's more here to glean on this, but more potential exceptions that you might find, but it seems clear, as I've mentioned before, don't use biometrics to secure the phone. And I wondered if someone was to offer a multi-step process to get into a phone, one step of which is asserting the protections against incrimination for the contents of the phone. In other words, you're incriminating the contents that no one can see at that point, to ask for the protections of it, whether that would taint the content sufficiently to invoke the protection, notwithstanding how the court is treating it as just a source of potential information. And a multi-step here legal sign-in that nevertheless fails to allow access on the first point, because going through as a cop would be directed would lock out the phone after the legal protection steps, which are silently logged or even causing the phone to be reset, because was there any information at all? A potential source of evidence at all? Could it be then even considered tampering with evidence to have your phone set up that way? In my mind, why aren't our phones set up, for as much as a pain that would be? When they start to go to this kind of thing where you're victimized by it, you don't have protections, we got to figure out different things. The actual access to the phone that you would actually have would be, it's like a forked path. The one you would instruct the cop to go through and get the phone would actually lock it out by making your assertions of protection. But if you wanted to get into it, the other path, you know not to trigger that. You would go in and resort to any method of sign-in or authentication for phone access that the courts, you'd avoid all the ones that the courts have compromised, such as with biometric. Don't use those. Don't do that. No biometrics, ever. I've been saying this for over and over and over all the time. Yes, it's all a pain, but this is the vulnerability that these digital gulag cell phone wardens pose to we, the people. And we have to take this serious. You're watching. Again, even if you're a parolee, my thought was you can still take protections against these kinds of things. And I'm saying that if you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't have to, but they'll create you into somebody. In this case, he might have been doing wrong, and it was sufficient to breach the parole contract. So you don't want to do that either. I would ask that you just stop living like that, but anyway, people will have to do what they'll have to do. And the other thing I keep coming around is they will make us criminals. And I've seen it. I'm seeing it more. The judges do not do what the legislators have allowed for remedies or what they say you're supposed to do. They just take an opinion that wasn't good enough and you're subject. And it's stiff penalties that come down. And voluntary servitude complaint department, top Timcast episodes are deleted in YouTube's retroactive censorship raid. Tim Pool's landmark episodes of Joe Rogan and Alex Jones are pulled from YouTube, underscoring creators' vulnerability in the video platform. Remember what I just said about the parolee and the status, and we're going to connect this right on through. Now, Timcast IRL podcast have fallen prey to YouTube's enforcement protocol. The podcast episodes that hosted personalities such as Joe Rogan and Mike Malice and Alex Jones have now been eliminated from the platform, despite being on the platform for the last 3 years. And to that, I have to say, amateur. The Behind the Woodshed episodes are being pulled back off as far as 5 years, as I'm being told by people who have reposted the broadcast from back then and before. And when he can show viewerships and interaction in the single digits for information not found anywhere on the interwebs, not just jacking his jaw or chewing cud about topics, but understanding what to do to stop the public-private war against mankind, then maybe he'll have standing to talk. Otherwise, Poole expressed his dissatisfaction with how YouTube is managing his relationship with its content creators. Quote, I told Google I cannot run a business if this is how you treat your business partners. This is an FU to me and a threat, he remarked. And I look at that and go, business? A business partners? In partnership with a known enemy? Really? What's business in collaborating with the enemy relative to objective, untainted, sensationalized truth have to do with what he's doing? Is a bit of a fallen expectation, and he's agreed to that. I hope my listener heard the same relationship in the partnership as is used in the Federal Agency Advisory Council sense, where the agency is this, in this case it would be YouTube, decides whether the advisor, the collaborator's input, in this case Timcast, is relevant. It's the same method that they're doing. Tim Pool voluntarily eats from the government agent's trough, then complains when it says his contribution is not worthy. What's the answer? Stop being a collaborator. See, what happened when that happened to RLM, what do? We stopped posting to YouTube. It doesn't stop it from taking our stuff sometimes, but we just stopped posting. What happened then? Well, YouTube now is now retroactively, 5 years back now, I'm told, taking content it doesn't like from behind the woodshed. 2 years prior to anything its policies touched from the accounts of other people posting that content there. They're penalizing behind the woodshed content on policies that didn't exist then. Talk about retroactive enforcement. It's supposed to be prohibited in the United States. Showing you that this is not law, but this is how the future governments are working forward. I just have to say, suck it up, Tim. Stop dancing with organized crime. Maybe it's time for y'all here to get behind the woodshed now, right now. You bring the other multimillionaires like Joe Rogan and Alex Jones and also Blair White and Michael Malice with you. Bring them over. Stop engaging with the criminal. Stop complaining. You signed a parole contract. Now you're complaining that they're not giving you what you thought you wanted to have. You had rights. No, you don't. I guess I'm a little bit irritated to hear this. These are the people that have gobs and bunches of people listening and don't really understand what the heck they're up against or dealing with and don't explain to people more than sensationalizing or opinionating what's going on around them. And us, and we watch this place where people are taken out. People are dying over the last thing, this COVID swindle. Oh, but my videos got taken. Well, stop supporting them. And from here, the voluntary self-inflicted wound, winery economy, to the evidence of how the West plunders and exploits nations under the color of providing benefits. Real production here, we'll see, must be protected. As it's coming out, as I've been saying, now economists are mentioning it, lenders must stop attaching Africa's resources to loans, like YouTube loaning you their space. Such non-transparent credit deals are undermining the continent's economic growth, says president of Africa's Development Bank. Now get it raised up now. I'm talking about the Chinese Development Bank and BRICS and all that, and all these things are pulled together, but somebody's recognizing that production is being tied and siphoned away. It's how they do it. It's how they diminish a country. Loans offered to African governments in exchange for oil and other minerals must end because such deals are contributing to the continent's crippling debt levels, Nigerian economist and banking expert Akinwumi Adesina has warned, describing such natural resource-backed loans as asymmetrical and non-transparent. It complicates the debt issue and the debt resolution issue. Understand what they're giving debt. They're giving evidence of debt, and they're at, these banks ask for substance in return, and they haven't really given anything. It's the other part of that. But last month, the AFDB president told Associated Press that an uneven nature of the negotiations, with lenders typically holding the upper hand and dictating terms to cash-strapped African nations, makes the loans just bad. Well, they're a little bit worse than that, but just bad, he says. So this sort of upper hand asymmetric dealing can invalidate a deal. It's a misdeal, actually. But it is what goes on despite known exploitation by the West or its benefactors, such as we read in that report. The report published in 2020 by the Natural Resource Governance Institute on 52 resource-backed loans issued between 2004 and 2018 found that 30 facilities totaling some $66 billion had been allocated to sub-Saharan African nations. It claimed that more than 50% of the loans had been borrowed from the China Development Bank and the China Exim Bank, with the rest provided by international commodity traders such as Glencore, Trafigura, the Standard Charter, mainly to Chad, the Republic of Congo, and South Sudan. So such an asymmetric exploitation of natural resources under color of loans could be considered a war crime as well here, a theft of natural resources, or another economic warfare, or oppressing the defenseless. And there's no real escape from this presumed voluntary enslavement when you're in that condition. And sort of like the United States when it went fiat and then debt debased system got imposed on everybody. I hope you're hearing the correlations. It's right here for us to see. And finally, an economy steps up. And I told you the production needs to be cut. It needs to be focused and protected by these nations. All the corruption in those nations aside, I'm just trying to show us a certain thing. It is becoming the news. It is becoming the thing that people, once they said enough's enough, they start realizing that they've been vulnerable. They are put in a position that they can't do nothing else. And it appears to be a voluntary servitude. It's nothing of the kind. Not at all. And these same types of exploitations go on in the country you live in the United States of America, where you live in freedom and you're not free. Because on all of this, it seems clear by increasing the total information dominance and cognitive warfare by all peer nations we are subject to now, and what's at stake, we read Xi Jinping announces a major military overhaul. The new Army Information Support Force will contribute to competitiveness in modern warfare, the Chinese leader has said. Don't underestimate what I mentioned about the Chinese bank, the development bank through BRICS, and what they're doing here. So what can we expect this to be then? Would we be surprised to hear cognitive cyber warfare to keep pace with the U.S.? Well, I would hope not, but, you know, that's not going to really work. The Chinese leader described a newly created wing of the army as a strategic force that will provide indispensable support for coordinating and using information system networks. It will play a crucial role in development and competitiveness in modern warfare, he said, according to the Chinese government website. Xi also noted that it is important to adhere to information-led and joint victory, smooth information links, integrated information resources, as well as strengthening information protection. Sounds already like the new corp is already working with what the word salad I just heard, so much dressing to cover up the same menu item as what's going on in the U.S. military. You understood that paragraph. You're way better than me to understand, but this is what they start to do. And that department in Corps has been working for a long time to put that little paragraph out for our consumption. Meanwhile, Beijing dissolved its strategic support force, which was created in 2015 to enhance China's expertise in space, cyber, political, and electronic warfare and help it fight informationized conflicts. So there it is, right there. Expertise in space, cyber, political, electronic warfare, and help it fight informationized conflicts. That's cognitive warfare. Just what I read the U.S. documents are doing. And I told you that China was right there watching this and moving in as quickly as they could. And they've been developing that. Now it's becoming official that China's cyber force and information support, as we can read in the next paragraph, is coming through to compete. Again, that's now two peer countries that are going to be doing this against us. Commentary on the reforms, Defense Minister spokesman Wu Gan has said China now has four military services, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and Rocket Force, and four arms, the Aerospace Force, Cyberspace Force, Information Support Force, and Joint Logistics Support Force. So you see how easy that is to put, nothing has changed but the lipstick on this thing, as cherry tomato fresh as it might be. And we can also read more. China has consistently taken steps to bolster its military capabilities amid its rivalry with the U.S. So here we're not only going to be played by the United States government ourselves, but on par the Chinese government as well. And so this, where all the people are sitting right in between this vice. And if you look at what I've been saying and what the future that they want, they're getting their way. And we got another force to be reckoned with, even though I think it's already been playing. I think that little paragraph tells you, I think Kamala Harris has probably been getting some teachings from them too, as I think about that. But despite or because of all in low places, they're likely compromised or afraid of being compromised, too afeared to do what's proper. U.S. lawmakers are scared of being framed for kiddie porn. It's coming from Tucker Carlson, exposing some of this. Again, the House of the Compromise. It's not the House of Congress. We're starting to see all this stuff. It's just organized crime. It's whoever is to take advantage of others. The intelligence community has got to be head big on this behind the scenes, and we can't look at our government and not understand it. Likely everybody's compromised or compromisable that this story talks about. Intelligence agencies have created ways of forcing politicians to do their bidding, the conservative journalists claim. Members of Congress consistently vote in favor of mass surveillance programs because they're terrified that the intelligence agencies will plant kiddie porn on their computers if they speak up, American journalist Tucker Carlson has claimed. According to Carlson, a number of lawmakers actually opposed this renewal, but did not admit this publicly. People don't say that because they're worried about being punished. They're worried about someone putting kiddie porn on their computer. Members of Congress are terrified of the intel agencies. I'm not guessing on that. They've told me that, including people on the Intelligence Committee, including people who run the Intel Committee. They're afraid of the agencies, he stated, added, that's not compatible with democracy. Even so, that aside, it's playing out in front of everyone, and no one cares or no one does anything about it, Carlson continued. I think the reason is because they're threatened. And if you look at the committee chairman who allowed this, *T, to happen year after year, I know them, and they have all the things to hide. I know that for a fact. So, as I asked last week, who represents you folks? Who represents you? As I've been saying for years regarding the digital vulnerabilities, the government will make you a criminal when it wants or needs to. Carlson is not the first influential conservative to claim that elected representatives are being blackmailed. Back in December, Tennessee Representative Tim Burchett, a Republican, suggested that his colleagues opposed a motion to release the names of the notorious pedophile Jeffrey Epstein clients because they would have been implicated in sex crimes. This explains, at least in part, the undue unseen influence compromising the entirety of the republic we the people were to keep. by compromising those said to represent you, democracy aside, and this afterward, how many government officials or employees are compromised beforehand? The United States, just, I don't know how you get around saying it's a fallen nation. And without some form of viable intervention or by some invulnerable avoidance, it is not going to get better. And there are no options that won't reflect badly on the people, whether in remedy or acquiescence or in absence of adequate avoidance. And I don't think any surgeon would use a shotgun or even a rifle bullet to remove a metastasized tumor from the body, and not doing anything also means the end of it. So, as I've been saying, this is quite a different problem to correct than might be expressed as, you know, being protected against by the Second Amendment. I've not heard really any viable application of that notion, especially in light of the Lincolnization experience suffered even until today, as modified as it is by the national coup known as 9/11, in which we remained here as crickets during the great Covey swindle as well. On top of that, having 2020 hindsight, as explained at the last of 2019, I said was coming to us. All this foresight didn't help us. All this hindsight hasn't helped us. And no, Trump is not the answer. He's just a celebrity. The biddy screen. His name is worth money and notoriety, apparently a lot of money, but nothing else. Just research the social media anomaly called True Social. Follow the agreements tied to the money. I'm surprised he didn't use that value in his Mar-a-Lago fraud defense, but maybe that would have made things too obvious as to whom he's beholden to with these agreements. And very well they put these together. It might even prove what self-immolating Azzurillo said. But, quote, folks, you vote harder if and it makes the chains a bit lighter, even for a time. This has been BTW RLM 574, and I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs are nature willing.
It echoes call, the hour is near. Behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Every Sunday, the clock strikes three. Hal's voice rolls like thunder, fierce and free. Pull up a chair, lean in close, lessons to learn, dose by dose. Behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. House words ignite, the airwaves burn. Stand up, listen, it's time to learn. Behind the woodshed, where truths are earned. Law to liberty, the spectrum line. In house court, no place to hide. A can of wood bass, ready to burst for unspoken truths and unquenchable thirst. Behind the woodshed. Next week, heed the call. Behind the woodshed, standing tall.